a drained FDIC fund, a secret government list of problem banks, and a consolidation of power within the mega banks. Today, we'll break down how your deposits are at risk from these three current events and how you can protect yourself from a system that is designed to fail. I'm Taylor Kenny with ITM Trading, your trusted source for all things gold and silver. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC, sticker on your bank's front door is supposed to give you peace of mind. This sticker represents a promise that your deposits are insured up to $250,000 in the event that your bank should fail. But what happens when your supposed safety net is still struggling to recoup their losses from last year's bank failures and nowhere near prepared to take on more coverage? Banks have historically operated on a fractional reserve system. It used to be that banks were required to keep about 10% of total deposits on hand, which was a flawed system, but it was better than nothing, which is what we have today, thanks to the Federal Reserve taking away traditional reserve requirements in 2020. But here's the scary part that not everybody knows. The FDIC, our supposed safety net, also operates on a fractional reserve system. Go ahead and guess how much they're required to keep in their deposit insurance fund. 1.35%. That's it. Of all total insured deposits. How does that number make you feel? Knowing that A, your bank isn't required to keep any deposits on hand, and B, our fail-safe is only keeping 1.35%. What happens to your deposit when that money is gone and your bank collapses next? And right now, the deposit insurance fund isn't even at the 1.35% minimum threshold because the FDIC is still trying to recoup their losses from last year's bank failures. The same way that you pay for homeowners insurance or health insurance, banks pay a routine sum to the FDIC to make sure that there's money available in the event that something happens to their institution that their depositors are insured. But unlike homeowners insurance or your health insurance, the banks that don't fail, the ones who do make it through, are actually responsible for helping the FDIC recoup those losses as quickly as possible. Let that sink in for a second, because not enough people are talking about it. If we know that banks across the board right now are struggling thanks to commercial real estate debt, unrealized losses, whatever it might be, do we really feel confident that as banks are failing, other banks will be able to cover the cost consistently? To make up for last year's bank failures alone, banks were required to pay a one-time fee to the tune of $9 billion. This week, it came out that they're going to have to pay an additional $4 billion as the cost of covering last year's failures continues to rise. And let me tell you, banks are not happy about it. America's sixth largest banking group, PNC's CEO Bill Demchak, said that he is upset that they have to up their bill to the FDIC because, and I quote, the FDIC did not do their job. What does he mean by that? Well, the FDIC has demonstrated yet again that they are incapable of understanding the true health of the banks they monitor. Either that, or they'd rather make things seem rosier than they really are. Maybe both are true, but either way, at the end of the day, it is their responsibility to keep tabs on which banks are in trouble to avoid potential bank failures. This is where the problem bank list comes in, a confidential list created by the government and the FDIC of problem banks who have operational or financial weaknesses. It's confidential because the public can't see which banks are on the list, only stats and numbers around how many and how much they're worth. The most recent report this quarter showed that the total number of problem banks increased by 8 up to 52 total banks valued at over $60 billion. But you guessed it. That number is nowhere close to a true representation of how many banks are actually in trouble, and we can prove it. Banking regulators use a 5-point rating system, with 1 being the best and 5 being the worst. Any banks with a rating of 4 or 5 get put on the problem bank list. Signature Bank, at the time of failure last March, was rated A2, not even close to being on their list. The systems that are in place to track and monitor bank health are failing miserably. Look right now at current day. NYBC, a bank that was this close to going under this year, wasn't even on their radar. And we know that because their assets alone total over $100 billion. And as a quick reminder, the FDIC's deposit insurance fund currently has $120 billion in it. So if that bank, NYBC, and one other bank went under, the fund is gone. Poof, it's vanished. It has all been used. Which brings us to the third and final event that we're seeing a pattern of from the FDIC, which is a consolidation of power and wealth via bank rescues. The FDIC is required by law to sell banks to whoever can offer the highest price, often with the highest bidder being a mega bank because they are able to expand their reach more quickly, regardless of how toxic the assets might be, the pressure it's putting on them, or the risks to the entire sector as a whole. Currently, there are over 4,500 banks across the United States, but the top six hold over half of all assets. From 2008 to today, Bank of America alone has increased their assets by close to 70%. These too-big-to-fail banks are more concentrated than ever and riddled with risky bets and toxic assets. So what does that mean for you? Well, we know that banks are struggling. The reason why they've been allowed to hold less to no reserves was to help them stay afloat. Times are that bad. Leaders in our country like Jerome Powell have even said that we will lose small and regional banks along the way. When this happens, there will be an economic centralization of power, which could lead to more corruption and higher risk. And on top of that, we know that the FDIC is ill-equipped and underfunded to handle even the failing of two mid-sized banks, let alone what happens when large banks start to fail. We cannot count on them in a time of crisis. There is a serious risk that you wouldn't be bailed out, but instead you'd be bailed in. Banks would take your deposits, freeze your accounts, making themselves whole and leaving you with nothing. It doesn't take a genius to realize that this system is broken. It's not that everything would have to go wrong for it to collapse, but rather everything would have to go right to keep it running. All of this to say that storing your wealth in cash in this current system carries serious risk. If this message resonates with you because it's been something you've been thinking about for a long time, or maybe this is a new concern and you want to learn more about how to protect your finances outside of the system, then click on the link below and hop on a call with us today to learn more. It's what we do. You are not alone. We are here to help, and we are all in this together. As always, I'm Taylor Kenny with ITM Trading. Until next time.